You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From Lake Superior to Lake Michigan, this is Wisconsin's Morning Conversation. Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning, and thank you so much for joining us today on the Civic Media Network. And let's just add, happy Friday, happy Easter if you're going to be celebrating this weekend. Happy birthday to Brian Noonan. We've let that one kind of go under the rug because he has an aversion to birthdays, and I get it, but we'll still acknowledge
thank you,
this.
Thank you, though. It's very nice. It's very nice. I wasn't going to tell anybody, but then some suits let it slip in a meeting the other day. Not Jamie. She was not the suit that let
it slip.
I was
not.
But the company has this thing about that's like a HIPAA violation. I think I'm going to take this to HR. I don't need my birthday splashed across company and then have AI notes send it to somebody is having a birthday. Shut up! I don't if I want people to know, I let them know. I don't even tell Debbie and Molly. I mean, I think they know that it's my birthday, but I don't. It's not like we made plans or anything. There's nothing special happening for my birthday.
Mr. Plowking over on YouTube chat says, "Hammy birthday, Brian."
Mr. Plowking, that was uncalled for. That was hurtful. Not a way to celebrate the day a man was brought onto this planet to bring you nothing but enjoyment. That's what I'm here for. And then you come at me, Mr. Plowking. I'll forgive you, but only once.
Okay.
What I will not forgive is that we are in a meaningless war. How's that for a segue, Parker?
Very nice.
Yeah. With age comes wisdom. This just breaking, we're going to check some headlines from the Middle East. A local channel of Iranian state television claimed today that a U.S. fighter pilot ejected from their aircraft over southwestern Iran. The U.S. did not respond immediately to requests for comments. The anchor on the channel read the following announcement, quote, "If you capture the enemy pilot or pilots alive and hand them over to the police, you will receive a precious prize." And then an on-screen call separately urged the public to, quote, "shoot them if you see them," referring to social media footage circulating of what appeared to be a U.S. aircraft in the area. So if this is true, it is more horrible news for a war that nobody wanted, nobody asked for, except for one man who wanted, I don't know what he wanted other than more oil and to prove he was a tough guy.
I mean, this is just something that we've already seen instances of this week when Sarah Kittleson, that independent journalist, was kidnapped. We haven't gotten a lot of details about how she's doing at this point either. She is a Wisconsin native, by the way. Mm-hmm. So if you're wanting to know some ties about her, but we'll keep an eye on this story. Speaking of the president, he has issued a new warning to Tehran, warning that the U.S. military, quote, hasn't even started destroying what's left in Iran. This came after a strike on a major bridge just outside Tehran killed at least 8 people.
And those comments came after a key Iranian suspension bridge was heavily damaged in a strike on Thursday, which Tehran has blamed on the U.S. and Israel.
And Iranian state media this morning released photos of what it claimed is the wreckage of a U.S. Air Force fighter jet downed by the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corporation or Guard Corps. It doesn't seem like Iran has gotten the message from the president. That's what I'm getting out of these headlines today. It doesn't seem like they understand where he's coming from.
They don't listen to me, Jamie. That's why they're savages and I need to bomb them back into the Stone Age. Everybody knows once I start bombing you, you should just give up and do what I say. And yet they're not doing what I say and it's making me mad. I may just have to walk away and just leave it. I'm so frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, the Pentagon released photos of Marines conducting a simulated amphibious assault, even as the president said it will be up to other countries to open the strait. Meanwhile, the aircraft carrier USS Gerald R. Ford is back at sea after undergoing repairs for a fire on board.
We were during our show within the show. If you watch us on the live stream, we had this question. Is the president actually thinking that he's won this war, or is his polling indicating that he should be done with this war? That's where my mind goes.
Yeah, I think he's seeing the polling, but he's not going to, because to just be done admits defeat. And he and Whiskey Pete do not want to admit defeat. We have to keep proving that we are the toughest dog in the yard and it doesn't matter. And now the grift is, he said it yesterday, hey, countries, if you can't get oil through the Strait of Hormuz, just buy it from us. We got plenty of it. Which
we don't
because we still import it.
Right.
But anyway. All right. Well, that's the Middle East. What about stateside? Is there any stuff we need to know, Parker?
It's a wake-up call in more ways than one. Time for some you need to know.
Well, speaking of the president, why don't we continue? He said yesterday he's soon going to sign an order to pay all DHS employees who have gone without paychecks during the record-long partial government shutdown. It's reached 48 days. He announced this unilateral move. He loves those unilateral moves. It's only me. I make all the decisions. He did it in a social media post because that's how responsible politicians do things. He blamed Democrats for the impasse, while thanking Republican leaders for their work this week in trying to end the standoff, which they extended, if I can fact check a moment. You may remember Mike Johnson last Friday caused the continuation of this standoff by sending the House home after the Senate had unanimously agreed on a partial funding package. Trump used similar maneuver to resume pay for the Transportation Security Administration after many employees had called out from work. That resulted in long delays at the airport, you know. In his latest intervention is expected to apply to other non-law enforcement employees at the department, including many employees at FEMA, the Coast Guard, and the agency responsible for coordinating federal cybersecurity efforts. Oh, I wish Cash Patel probably wishes you had done that earlier. The DHS funding lapse is likely to stretch into next week. Sure it will. The House is contemplating passing a Senate plan it previously rejected. That was last week. And now they're on vacation. No legislative resolution Thursday. Both chambers met for just a few minutes in pro forma sessions. Republican leadership and Trump have coalesced around the plan to fully fund DHS because that way they can take all the credit and none of the blame.
I'm always glad to see people get a paycheck when they need it and deserve it.
I don't want these employees going without their pay.
But they're just caught up in this mess that this government has created. And let's be clear.
You mentioned pawns before.
Yeah. Yeah, right? They're pawns. Yeah.
These are the pawns.
I mean, let's be clear, though. The Democrats have put several plans on the table to not only get DHS funded, all agencies of DHS, not just TSA, right, as people were standing in these 6.5-hour lines just last week. They've put several plans on the table. Mike Johnson has rejected a lot of those. The president himself has told them not to negotiate. Right. And he literally...
And the Senate, until last week, the Senate had been stonewalling it too.
So essentially what you have is a refusal to negotiate, people going without pay, and then the president coming in and swooping in last second saying, I am your savior. Let me pay you the money that you deserve, and because this is the Democrats' fault. No. No. There have been several plans on the table. There have been Republicans who have been willing to reach across the table and sign those proposals and say, we will vote on this. We will support this. Let's just get this done. And it's been from the own administration's doing that this is still an ongoing issue.
He's banking on the fact that people will be so grateful to finally have their paychecks back that they will immediately forget what got them in that situation in the first place. And there will be some who do that. And okay, that's fine. And again, there's no way this should have gone 48 days. No way these people should have missed at least two paychecks. So he's banking on that short term, thank God we're finally getting paid, to carry over instead of, yeah, we deserve to be, but you're not doing us a favor. We deserve this money. We've still been coming to work.
Right.
So it should be anger rather than
gratitude.
But there will be some gratitude, and that he's hoping that sways people's votes and opinions.
You're negative 45 right now with independents. Negative 45 sitting with independents. You're going to have to do a lot of gratitude.
That means I'm positive 55, Jamie. Let's look at the bright side. Majority, 55, that's more than half.
There we go.
That's what they tell me. They say, sir, 55 is more than half. I say, I don't care. It's all. To me, 55 is everybody.
Taking a look at other headlines and stuff you need to know, Pete Hegseth has asked Army Chief of Staff Randy George to immediately retire which would end his tenure years earlier than expected and without any sort of public explanation. Now, George was one of the most senior military leaders in the country, serving on the Joint Chiefs of Staff and overseeing the Army during an active conflict. The decision came during this U.S. military operation that is tied to the Iran conflict, raising concerns about sudden leadership disruption at a very critical time. Now, according to reports, George was not given a reason for his removal, and the move appears to have been made quickly with little public process. General Christopher Leneve, who is the vice chief, will now serve as acting leader, but the long-term leadership of the Army is now uncertain. Now, this move highlights growing internal tensions within the Pentagon, including disagreements over officer promotions and who's going to actually control key military decisions. It's all part of this broader effort by Pete Hegseth and this administration to reshape military leadership, including removing or even sidelining a lot of top officials across different branches. We've actually seen him do this over the last few months. Some of those changes have involved replacing experienced leaders with individuals seen as more aligned with the administration. It's always about thinking just like this administration, because we wouldn't want anybody to have actual thoughts. George had a long military career with combat tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. He's also been confirmed by the Senate just a few years ago, making his removal very notable. Wow.
It smells of, and again, we don't know, this is just my theory, take it for what it's worth, which is a lot. There was news came out the other day, might have been yesterday or the day before, about Pete Hegseth removing African-American female officers from the promotions list. Perhaps Army Chief of Staff Randy George didn't like that and said something to Whiskey Pete, and Whiskey Pete didn't like that, and so now you got to go because you dared to disagree with me. Details will come out. Nothing in Washington stays a secret, especially because there does seem to be a lot of consternation among career military personnel with a guy who was a weekend Fox News host who thinks he's a tough guy and wants to make everything about make this a religious war. Mm-hmm. So the details will come out, and it'll be fascinating to find out what really happened.
And I think what's going to be even more fascinating is where my mind went first is, did George disagree with what's happening in Iran? I mean, let's be realistic. Yeah. If you've been in military, you've served for a long time, there's probably real legitimate questions that are being asked by the people who have real experience. And if you question this administration, we know they don't like that. And it turns out that you usually find yourself without a job if you make them look bad or question what they're doing. The military is not political, though. So the fact, we should all be bothered by the fact that Pete Hegseth continues to remove people who do not necessarily align with this administration. This is
or that he unilaterally thinks we're DEI hires, because that's
right.
His, oh man, Pete Hegseth, the ultimate DEI hire. Pete Hegseth is so against DEI and his pursuit, whatever woke means to him, which he keeps trotting out too. It doesn't make any sense, but you're right. It's not political. And this, he was confirmed by the Senate.
Yeah.
This is a big deal.
Yeah. Pete Hegseth actually had a really busy day yesterday. He was very busy in his office.
What was he doing?
So we're going to talk about him again later this hour because he made a somewhat controversial decision for the bases, military bases across the country. And he put out a really well-produced video to make that announcement yesterday.
I can't wait. I can't wait. But I also want to remind people quickly, John Mulaney is coming to the State Fair. Comedian John Mulaney. All you need to do is go to WRJN.com. Right there on the homepage, click it, fill out the little form. You will be entered to win. You have until Sunday to enter this contest. So go get those tickets. Don't spend your money. Try to win them. When we come back, Ron Johnson had a telephone town hall. We're going to play some fact or fiction.
So excited. So excited.
I know this will be fun. It's Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan. She's Jamie Martinson. This is the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
God, I love when I get the round of applause from the crowd.
It's fantastic.
Parker, don't fade the applause down. Come on, sorry, let me sit in that glory for a second.
The applause are gone. Nope. They're gone.
It's gone.
It's good. It's fine.
It's not that
fine.
Big a deal. Our audience is great. I appreciate it. Welcome to another round of Fact or Fiction. If you haven't listened before, this is when I'm tasked with listening to a speech or a town hall and pull some audio clips to play for everybody so you don't have to sit through the hour-long thing.
Yay.
But I'll play the highlights, and then Brian and Jamie are going to play a little game. They are going to have to decide whether this statement was fact.
That's the fact, Jack!
Or if it was fiction.
Pure fiction.
All right.
I know Jamie's excited.
I am.
Jamie's competitive.
And these town halls are the best.
And this was a good one. Let me play a quick clip. This was the opening remark.
All questions are fair game. We've had a lot of callers here in the last few telephone town halls primarily disagree with me, which is fine. The good news is we're from Wisconsin and we know how to disagree agreeably. And so the call's really been very respectful. We just had a couple that weren't quite so respectful, but I don't expect that here today.
Right, right, Ron. Right, Ron.
He set the bar like...
I don't expect it either.
Put your expectations in one hand and then poop in the other, see which one
That's what
first.
We call foreshadowing. All right, let's do our first real clip here.
Okay.
Here's clip number one.
I know Democrats have done unanimous consent requests to fund different parts of TSA. They want to defund ICE and CBP, and they've got some issues with that, and we can talk about that later. But it's Democrats that are voting against the actual funding measures that would actually pass Congress and be signed into law.
Fiction.
Brian's going with fiction.
It is fiction.
Jamie is also going with fiction.
Pure fiction.
All right, so what makes you guys say fiction on this one?
Well, it's not the Democrats.
Reality makes me say fiction because we know the Republicans blocked it last week. We know the Democrats have put forth at least 5 or 7 bills to fund it. You cannot defund something that's already been funded by the big, beautiful bill. I don't know. We use the facts, Jack.
Not to mention the fact that the Democrats don't actually want to defund ICE. They want to put parameters around them. So what they're doing out in the field is actually like, I don't know, body cams and, not having masks on their face. So no, it's fiction.
Right. So Democrats definitely have some responsibility when it comes to shutting down the funding of DHS. Sure. However, Republicans cannot wash their hands of any responsibility on their end. Yes, the Senate has not passed 5 funding bills since February with the disagreement on ICE funding being the main culprit, like Jamie said. Meanwhile, the Republicans have also shot down alternative plans. Senate Republicans have blocked 8 separate attempts to fund TSA independently of ICE and CBP in recent weeks. So... To just fully put it on the Democrats and just ignore everything on the other side of the aisle. Come on, Ron.
Come on. That was...
We need that.
Come on, Ron.
I'll pull that drop.
Parker, okay. You make a note. Pull that. All right. Running out of time. Let's keep on moving.
Yeah.
You probably don't understand that if you're listening to the highly biased legacy and corporate news media.
I just wanted to play that for you.
That's great.
That was
I would like
awesome.
To I would that like
was,
that edit.
That was Ron's response to basically everything I just said.
Yeah. Awesome. Good
Keep
thing he has
too.
His arguments and his points intact. Okay.
Of course.
Are we legacy or mainstream? Or what are we?
Sharon and Racine. Hello, Sharon. Thanks for being on the line. What's your question?
Where are we with the SAVE Act?
Well, Democrats are absolutely opposed to it. Passing any electric integrity measures existential to their game plan of turning America into one-party nation. It's why they open our borders, flooding millions of people into this country illegally, unvetted, into sanctuary cities and states to plus up the census numbers, to plus up the number of members of Congress, so they have an advantage there, and why they oppose any controls that make sure that your legitimate vote's not canceled by a fraudulent one.
So I ask you both, was this fact or was it fiction?
Fiction.
It was a fact in the fact that he was spreading fiction.
Fiction.
Pure fiction.
This one is also pure fiction, and I feel like I'm just a record on a loop at this point. Please. Remember, voter fraud is not a major issue. To put it into local terms, let's take a look at Wisconsin.
Okay.
Election clerks referred to 46 instances of suspected fraud and voting irregularities to prosecutors related to the November 2024 presidential election.
Okay.
That's out of more than 3.4 million ballots that were cast in the state. That makes the flagged cases roughly 0.002% of all votes.
I'm going to needlepoint that on a pillow pretty soon.
So you're saying it's still possible?
It's possible on a very small scale. It's not to the point where we need to really do all of this.
We don't need a poll tax?
No. To say that like millions of people are coming over to the over the border to
flooding the borders, Frank,
flooding
please.
The borders, and are going to cancel out your vote. It's just another scare tactic.
Well, remember
it's
they
the
used
same
to bus them in.
Tactic.
The Democrats used to bus people in
right.
to vote.
Sure.
So yes,
one party.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Yeah.
We're going to move to our last one because we're running out of time.
All right. I think what's happening in Iran right now, unfortunately, and let me underline in boldface, unfortunately, I think Iran forces into this. They declared war on us 47 years ago. They're the largest state sponsor of terror.
We have 1 minute left, so Jamie.
See, here's the problem. They throw a couple things in.
Yes.
Yeah, they might be the largest state sponsor of
yes.
terrorism. They did not declare war. My vote, fiction.
It's fiction because it's there's like half-truths in there.
Pure fiction.
Yes, there's been a lot of hostility over the years, obviously, between Iran and the U.S. However, Iran did not declare war on the United States of America. It's very important.
Very important. Fine print. Read the fine print, Frank.
I'm going to leave
that
it at
that.
I know.
That
it's
was
all
great.
Fiction from that one.
It
was a
fiction.
Rough listen, but I hope
I
you all enjoy
it. Frank, we'll do it again. Thank
of
you so
course.
Much. Fact or fiction? When we come back, Whiskey Pete Hegseth made a controversial rule. Jamie alluded to it earlier. We will get to it next on Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
Fairly solid, better than expected. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Civic Media Network. It is 8:35 right now on a Friday. I mean, I love saying it because it's just such a happy word. Friday is always good. But if you're listening in Wisconsin Rapids this morning on WFHR or in Wausau on WXCO or in Eau Claire on 93.5 The Tap, we are certainly glad that you decided to join us. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning, I'm Brian Noonan. If you want to jump in anytime, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Now, Jamie, you alluded to this earlier,
mm-hmm.
that Pete Hegseth had a busy day yesterday.
He did.
And it wasn't just folding and pressing his pocket square. A lot of people think that, but it wasn't. That's not it. Pete Hegseth has now decided that off-duty service members may soon be able to carry privately owned firearms on U.S. military bases. He issued that order yesterday. This seems like a really bad idea, considering there have been a number of shootings on military bases. And they're already issued firearms, aren't they, in the military?
Yeah.
I'm not a military guy. But so his directive doesn't automatically arm everyone. Yeah, sure. It changes the default mindset. Instead of no unless approved, it's now yes unless denied. With regards to your private firearms. What did Pete have to say about this? He must have said something.
Well, he put out a very well-produced video from multiple angles.
Oh.
Yes, it looks like it was obviously one of those videos that's been in preparation for a long time. It was about 3.5 minutes, and I tried to parse it down, but I had to take some of the best stuff. So this is a little longer than I normally like to play, but let's listen to
Pete
Hegseth. Yes.
Our rights as citizens are not granted to us by government, but instead by God.
He didn't just
250 say- years ago, the Revolutionary War was fought to secure our God-given rights. The Second Amendment to our Constitution enshrines the right of all citizens to carry weapons to protect themselves, their families, and their fellow countrymen. The War Department's uniformed service members are trained at the highest and unwavering standards. These warfighters, entrusted with the safety of our nation, are no less entitled to exercise their God-given right to keep and bear arms than any other American. Our warfighters defend the right of others to carry. They should be able to carry themselves. Recent events like what happened at Fort Stewart Holloman Air Force Base, or Pensacola Naval Air Station, have made clear that some threats are closer to home than we would like. In these instances, minutes are a lifetime, and our service members have the courage and training to make those precious short minutes count. Before today, it was virtually impossible. Most people probably don't know this. It was virtually impossible for War Department personnel to get permission to carry and store their own personal weapons aligned with the state laws where we operate our installations. I mean, effectively, our bases across the country were gun-free zones. Unless you're training or unless you are a military policeman, you couldn't carry, you couldn't bring your own firearm for your own personal protection on to post. Well, that's no longer. The memo I'm signing today directs installation commanders to allow requests for personal protection to carry a privately owned firearm with the presumption that it is necessary for personal protection.
All right. Can I ask a question? And I really would like to hear from some veterans, some military personnel.
Yes.
Military bases are not public access. You're only on there if you are part of that group or if you're working on the base, which if you listen to Whiskey Pete, you are part of a highly trained team. Why would you feel threats from your own highly trained team in an environment that only the highly trained team can access? The people who have caused these incidents that he mentioned, and those are serious and should be looked into, they were using unapproved private firearms. It was this whole thing doesn't make any sense. It's again the false bravado of look how tough I am. And I'm not arguing gun rights. I'm arguing, do you need a gun in an enclosed area where you are with like-minded and like-trained individuals who are all supposedly working on the same team? What is your personal protection and your personal fear of harm going on there? So if you've lived on a base, if you're in the military, please, and even if you agree with this, I'm curious.
Yes.
So I really want to know. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Is this a good thing, or is this ridiculous and more posturing by Pete Hegseth to try to improve his look and his image within the military?
I think that this is... I was actually a little stunned by this last night when I saw this actually break, just because this seems like more than just a deviation from policy. This is a fundamental shift in how safety, responsibility, yes, and firearms are handled on U.S. military bases. And let's be realistic. You're right. There are military service individuals on those bases, but there's also families on those bases. Mm-hmm. There's also civilians on those bases. Yeah. And what I also think is interesting is, if you joined us earlier this hour, we talked about Pete Hegseth just literally retiring out of nowhere, Randy George, from the Joint Chief of Staffs. Part of my mind then connects it to this. Was there a fundamental disagreement on this? There's also the war happening. I also look at the fact that you also have administrative officials like Pam Bondi and Christy Noem living on military bases right now. Mm-hmm. That's because they didn't feel safe in their homes in Washington, D.C., so Please. They moved them to military bases. How is that? You actually have people who could be threatened by weapons on these bases if people are allowed to carry. And it's not good for anybody, right? Like,
what about at the checkpoints coming in? Now you've got to worry about not only weapons that are authorized to be on the base, but you've got these other weapons. There doesn't seem to be a justification.
No.
I really, for the life of me, I've been thinking about this, and I cannot come up with a good reason. And don't come at me with the Second Amendment, because people love to misquote the Second Amendment.
Sure.
Well-armed militia. Well, inside a military base, they're pretty well-armed, and they're the U.S. military. Their rights are there. They have weapons at their disposal, because that's their job. They don't need other guns. And I'm not, you know, again, this is not a gun control discussion.
No. And I mean, for decades, this has been a longstanding tradition where the Department of Defense policy has strictly prohibited the carry of personal weapons on any sort of base, with only military police or the authorized guards allowed to be armed outside of any sort of designated training or hunting areas. So that's why this is, I think, if you're looking at it from the outside, and again, that's why we'd love to know from somebody who's maybe lived on a base, 1-855-752-4842, 1-855-75-CIVIC. If you're listening today, you've served, if you've lived on a base, is this as stunning as it seems to the rest of us? Because to me, this was a complete deviation from the safety protocols and standards that have been set up in these bases in the past. And this seems somewhat dangerous to me and unwarranted for many reasons. Is it just part of Pete Hegseth's that bro mentality that he has to allude that he is more powerful than what he is? I don't know.
Again, listen to the terminology. Starting at the very beginning, it went from Defense Department to War Department. It went from military members or soldiers, sailors, Marines to war fighters. This is a man whose career was not distinguished in the National Guard, who comes from a TV news host background, which is, you know, that's a fine job, but he has zero military experience at that level. He should be embarrassed to be in a room even talking to the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
Right.
He has no reason to be there, but he is building up and has built up with the blessing of this administration this image of defense now becoming aggression, watching out for the country's rights as to be war. War is the only way to show strength. It's that old stupid peace through strength thing. And yes, we need to have a strong military. That's not the point of this conversation. The point of this conversation is stop posing, stop being a prima donna who's going to peacock around and show people, oh yes, look at how tough I am. And I have made the Defense Department so much tougher because I call people war fighters. And I'm wondering if military members just shrug that off because they've got a job to do and they're just doing it. And maybe they can filter out all the noise so it's never going to really matter.
Right.
But this issue can really matter because it can affect, as you rightly mentioned, all the other people on the base.
And the
stress of that job, and I'm sorry.
No,
but
please.
One last thought. The stress of that job now is so much higher than the stress of this job a year ago. The military is a tough gig. It's an even tougher gig when you are at war. There's stressors that we can only dream about that are happening. And, you know, you put more firearms in that situation, and it is a recipe for disaster.
That's where my mind went last night reading this several times, because it took me several times reading it to grasp what was happening.
Yeah.
And just like this administration typically rolling out plans, it doesn't seem like there's much of one here. Let me go through some of the stipulations. So service members are going to will still have to formally request permission. The burden, though, has now shifted to commanders to justify saying no. So essentially, you can have them saying, no, we're not going to have the weapon, where there's going to be blame shifting. I don't know if that happens in the military because it is very much based on your rank. So I don't know if that blame shifting shift happens in the military, but that could lead to more routine approvals across installations. The policy could also apply to a wide range of locations. It could apply to housing areas, parking lots, offices, and possibly even some workspaces, depending on how each commander interprets the rules that Pete Hegseth lays out.
Now, so they're not actually rules, they're kind of suggestions.
Sure. Then there's also a really big unknown in all of this, and that relies on the training and qualification standards. Because a lot of service members are trained in weapons, as you've rightly pointed out, but that doesn't necessarily translate to civilian-style concealed carry or personal defense scenarios. So there's a whole bunch of questions that now surround this about mental health screenings, risk factors, especially since bases include young service members, again, as you rightly pointed out, under stress, as well as the families and the civilians that also are on those military bases. It just like there. Do you get to a point when you hear some of this stuff that it seems so ridiculous that at first you're kind of like, is this real? Am I actually reading this correctly? And then you get to the point where, for me personally, you start to not have words because it is right. So ridiculous. They're like, you feel like a broken record. We do what we do, but it feels like a broken record because of the ridiculousness of what this administration is continually doing in its lack of planning and to show and exude its strength. We'll put that in air quotes.
And you wonder if Pete Hegseth, we know the president doesn't do this, but is there anybody that he's the head of he's a secretary of defense. I guess he doesn't have to run it by anybody to even sound. It doesn't even sound like he used anybody as a soundboard on this and had any, or if he did and anybody disagreed with him, they're either gone or they're never talked to again. It's crazy.
But he looked good on camera.
Got a good head of hair. All right, let's lighten up the week with some Dairyland Diaries to get ready to wrap up. It's Daybreak. This is the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
It's 8:52 right now. We love this segment every Friday because we do get to explore the great state of Wisconsin and we get to talk about some things that are fun and lightning and not Pete Hegseth and Donald Trump related. It's good.
That's right. There's no politics in this, just
love
inspirational
it.
And fun stories from across Wisconsin. It is Dairyland Diaries. I love a good reinvention story.
Sure.
When somebody is on a path and they change their path and then they're successful, good for them. Well, during COVID, Heather Van Dorn of Glenfora, Wisconsin, found herself working less in her job as an occupational therapy assistant and spending more time in her workshop. So she was starting to do some woodworking, and her husband's uncle, who was an accomplished wood turner, showed Heather how to use a lathe. Oh, well, she took that lathe experience, and then somebody gave her a certificate to take a wood carving course offered by Dave Constantine of Constantine Productions in Durand, Wisconsin. Why is that important? Because Dave Constantine is an award-winning turkey call maker. So in 2024, she began making more advanced turkey calls and took a follow-up class with Constantine. And these turkey calls are not the little... These are big sculptures. You like how I did that one? I've got a million of them. So in 2024, she started making these more advanced ones. In 2025, she entered the Super Bowl of turkey call making.
That's a thing?
Who knew? They serve turkey wings, though, instead of chicken wings because, you know, you still need Super Bowl food. This is the National Wild Turkey Federation, which I thought was a whiskey drinking contest, and I'm like, I'm in, but no, it's a convention in Nashville, Tennessee for call makers. The event gets more than 1,000 entries each year in various categories. Mouth turkey call la, 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 is not one of them, so I will not be entering, but arguably the most coveted award, Jamie, is the Mickle.
Okay.
It is named for Earl Mick Mickle of Beach Lake, Pennsylvania, who was instrumental in recognizing turkey call making as a unique American art form. Her first year, she worked more than 100 hours to make a call based on a scene that was inspired by something she saw while she was on a deer hunt. She entered it in the NWTF competition. She won
the
Mickle.
Holy
then,
buckets.
Not to be outdone, she won it again. This year.
Wow.
Two in a row. Boom. And one thing you have to know about these turkey calls, they are more artistic pieces of wonder, more than artistic piece of wonder. They actually have to work.
Okay.
So it could look as pretty as it as you want.
Wow.
But if it doesn't attract the turkeys, no good. So Heather
good
Van Dorn
you,
is
girl.
Now, yes, she is rising up the ranks to maybe the student will surpass her mentor.
Isn't that crazy? But that's awesome. Look
that's
how
that's a world. That's a world. Who knew about that world? Turkey call world.
No idea. No idea that that existed, but that's awesome. In other stories from around the state, I love this one too, because who doesn't love a good animal story? The Racine Zoo is preparing to welcome Ayubu, an eastern black rhino male, to its Land of Giants area. Ayubu,
make sure you use pronunciation with your Land of Giants. That came out a little sketchy, but that's all right.
Anyway.
Send your letters to Jamie Martinson, care of Civic Media.
Landa, what?
He is 5 years old, and he's going to make the journey from the Lee Richardson Zoo in Garden City, Kansas, in just a few days, at least according to the zoo. After he arrives, Ayubu will be cared for in the Land of Giants, Rhino Barn, for quarantine at least 30 days before he's available to be seen as an exhibit. Now, the zoo in Racine has exhibited paired rhinos in the past. There was a male Eastern Black Rhino, and they're often in solitary, though, and they thrive because they like to thrive on their own. Ayubu, that feels like a lot of males, I know. But Ayubu is being moved based on recommendations from the Associations of Zoos and Aquariums Eastern Black Rhinoceros Species Survival Plan. Eastern Black Rhino males are most noted for their horns. They can weigh more than 6 pounds and exceed 50 inches in length. Holy
what
buckets.
You packing, Black Rhino?
Holy buckets. Eastern Black Rhinos are critically endangered in their wild range. Their numbers are dropping from around 70,000 in the 1970s to only over 1,600 today.
Wow.
So it's very cool.
Yeah, because poachers still try to take their horns for and grind them up for that's very cool.
And it
is. I like rhinoceroses, to me, are a nice dinosaur throwback.
Yeah.
You see those and you're like, these animals have been around for a while and they're not messing around. And so that's pretty cool. And so it'll be in the Racine Zoo. If you're in that area, make sure you swing by. Finally, who doesn't love a good rhino story followed by a nice cocktail? Hastings Cameron is the owner of a cocktail bar, Imaginary Factory, which is right here in Madison. And he has been named a James Beard Award finalist this week. After he was nominated, Cameron said he was stunned to be among the 20 semifinalists from all over the world. He's the only semifinalist in Madison to move on. So if you haven't been to Imaginary Factory, it was opened in 2021 on Court Street on the Near East Side. It's it's seen, obviously, an uptick in business because of, you know, Hastings' nomination and now being a finalist in the James Beard Award. It is a sleek, ultra-modern bar, which, when you think of me drinking, that's where you think I would drink, right?
Of course.
A sleek, ultra-modern
bar. First thing
bar.
That comes to my mind.
That or a brown paper bag. Either way, but it is known for its inventive, savory, herbaceous drinks, such as pineapple sage, which with Imaginary Factory Bubbly, or perhaps pineapple citrus and foam added in there. The garden salad. Jamie, that sounds healthy. You probably drink
that. It sounds amazing, yes.
Yes, gin, orange bell pepper, mint, peach, habanero, and lime, or how about dots and loops? That's gin, oolong tea, passion fruit, lime, ginger, and clove.
Ooh, interesting.
Now, the James Beard Restaurant and Chef Award winners will be announced at a ceremony June 15th at the Lyric Opera House in Chicago. We are wishing Hastings Cameron much luck, and we would love to come to Imaginary Factory and have a nice cocktail.
I like cocktails.
I would have to try one of these because they sound really good.
Yeah.
It sounds a little outside my comfort zone, but I'm in.
Sounds like a salad. And if I can drink it, more the better.
Yeah, and if it leaves you happy as we move into a Friday and a weekend, even better. We're done.
We made it. Yay. Look at us. Oh, we're done. Other people have to go back to work. But thank you for joining us today. This is Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.